Hey everyone, Brando here.
And Mike.
And we host the Game Addicts Podcast,
a show about modern and retro video games
that we play and collect.
Now, here's some vital information for you.
Our podcast is found on podcast services around the globe, such as iTunes,
Podbean,
Stitcher Radio,
and YouTube.
Check us out every Thursday for a new episode.
But wait,
there's more. If you pledge to the Journey into Comics Network Patreon, you get early access to the audio version of the show up to a week early.
So what are you waiting for?
It's time to level up and check out the Game Addicts Podcast today. The following is a Journey into Comics Network production.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Journey into Comics, the podcast about everything nerd, with your hosts, Nate Phillips and Brandon Stone.
We've come a long way from the Prime Minister's exploding cake. Or have we?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Journey into Comics. I'm your host, Nate. Today, joining me, as always, my podcasting co-host, partner in crime, executive vice president of the Journey into Comics Network, Brando!
How's it going, bud?
Dude, I'm glad you're back.
Same, man. And, you know, I want to thank everybody for understanding that sometimes life happens, family happens, we have emergencies. And, you know, it was very unfortunate. I didn't know when I would be back. I know people, and of course, you know, you were obviously very, very professionally vague last week about what was going on. And yeah, we won't dive into it. Let's just say we had a family emergency, you know, a hospital visit and all that kind of stuff. But it was very stressful, very unnerving, even the whole week, very tiring and very stressful, to the point of where even on Game Addicts on their social media, I said indefinite hiatus, because I didn't know. This has been, at that point, it had been days. We didn't know when I would be able to come back. And what I mean by that is, like, what does one mean by coming back? It's like, well, you know, when you're under so much stress to the point where you really don't feel like you can give your all in a project or in, or just in normal, just thinking about other things, you feel guilty about nerding out about things when things are not really at 100% going right, all well in your world. And that's how I feel. And I just, when I can't give 100%, I don't like it. I feel, you know, we've had episodes where sometimes it feels like we phone it in, and I always feel guilty, and I never want to do that. I never want to be distracted. So, with that, that's why I said indefinite, because I'm not going to put a timetable on it, because you can't. Thankfully things are starting to turn around and things are starting to go up. So, I'm back this week on the show. It just so happened, that you hadn't recorded yet, or you really hadn't solidified plans, because I had all full intentions of sitting this week out. But as it kind of turned out, it all works out in the end. Game Addicts is coming back next week with a different kind of episode. I'm hoping, at least. I got to wait till I got to piece it together. Because of our recording schedule, we're not going to be able to record until this following Thursday, that you're hearing this. So then the episode won't come out till the next Thursday. So we technically have two episodes that did not have a Game Addicts. But with this, there will be something. Episode 48 will be almost like a look at the, at like the prequel, the preamble to the Game Addicts podcast, the old pickup videos that I did on the JIC YouTube channel that are still there in a playlist in Brando's Game Room. You can go check those out. But those will be, I'm going to put those up in the video form and in audio forms for you to hear my old pickups from 2014.
Awesome. I can't wait. As a Game Addicts fan, I can't wait. It was difficult, Brando, having you be away for a minute, because it was like we just literally got the ball rolling on the network and everything was looking up. And then it was weird because you had to kind of ghost on me. You know, we were not able to communicate a whole lot. There was a real large amount of stuff going on with you. And, I was just like, okay, well, fucking, we're just going to put this together as best we can. And before we really go any further into the episode, I wanted to take a quick second to thank both Blaine and Poor Boy for stepping up last week. Blaine, again, I'm so sorry we don't have that episode, Lost to the Winds, but, you know, that's podcasting, man, and we still put it together, but you were definitely missed, so I'm glad you're back. I'm glad that things are going to kind of keep rolling forward, and, you know, obviously, if at any other point we need to have you step off for a minute for any personal shit, there's not even a question, man. You know how it is.
Absolutely, and the feelings, you know, more than mutual, you know, when there's, and that's what we always are, man. We're always family first, even though the GIC family, we're a family, but when it's like, when there's, you know, trouble in paradise, so to speak, when there's stuff going on, there's absolutely no question, like, go, you know, man, you got to go handle your business. So, you know, like, as far as that goes, I want to thank you, and I want to thank Poor Boy and Blaine for stepping up and helping out a lot. And, you know, and even this week, it wasn't really supposed to be me. And, you know, I actually did during that week. I knew I was stepping away. And so I had to sort of force myself to, like, be out of conversation. Because here's the thing is that, like, I have, you know, I had all the issues going on, but then I'm still seeing the updates from you guys. And it's like the want to just drift right back into that. Forget
and
what's
contribute
and contribute and come back to it, because I have such a passion for this. And that's one reason why when I told you the other day that I should be able to go back. Well, I guess originally I said next week I should be able to come back. And you said, don't rush. And I'm like, no rush at all. I want to come back. The moment that the stress is alleviated from me enough to be able to do that, I'm back in this full bore, because literally this is like something that it has almost overtaken this family's life. You know, with all the podcasting that I do, and now all the podcasting that she does, there are some, especially when I've guested on Podcastrophe, and then had to do JIC, and had to do JIW, and had to do Game Addicts, and then Butt Stuff. Holy crap!
We were out of podcasts,
dude. We were so busy that, like, I think Monday was the only day that we actually were at home together. We had stuff going on, but, you know, yeah, a big thanks to everybody, and a big thanks to all you guys, too, for understanding and everything, and I know you guys do, but I am so glad to be back here to the show. I'm so glad to be back because, Nate, we got stuff to talk about.
Oh, my God, do we have stuff to talk about, Brando? I'm so excited.
We have stuff to talk about. I got a couple of articles that I pulled that we're going to start with. This episode is going to be kind of a winged episode. We got articles, we got some news. We're going to be shuffling back and forth. We're going to be discussing. We're going to be, you know, maybe
I have video game comic news that actually are two things in one.
Wow. Okay.
So, oh yeah. Later. Don't let me forget.
So starting it off, we're going to go with some film news. Nate, did you know that a new Terminator is on the horizon?
Yeah, and the chick that played Sarah Connor is reprising her role, I believe.
Linda Hamilton is back to the franchise for the first time
since
T2. And so this is Terminator 6. Okay. Now, the rights have sort of been all over the place as far as, like, production companies having the rights, because Cameron sold the rights in the beginning for $1 to get the movie made. As long as he was able to direct, and James Cameron directed the first two movies, which are arguably the best two movies out of this entire franchise. Arguments can be made for and against the rest of the movies, in my opinion. That's something that foodies can look at some point. That'd be kind of cool to look at that whole kind of franchise. However, starting in 2019, the rights revert back to James Cameron. So he gets his franchise back that he created, that he dreamt up, that he may have been inspired by another author or TV show or something that ended up making him have a dream, that ended up making him make a movie about this dream. Then it became The Terminator. So he wants to do three movies, a trilogy that is like a full story, and then each movie can be kind of like enjoyed on its own. So Schwarzenegger is already tied in. We don't know. It's already been clued in that he won't be playing a Terminator for once. But then with Linda Hamilton coming in, it's like, then what are we going to do? And now as far as the script and everything goes, James Cameron is involved with the script. He also brought in some of his other partners that he's worked with over time. Also, the dude that David S. Goyer.
Yeah, he directed Suicide Squad.
I don't know if Goyer directed Suicide
Squad. No, David Ayer. It was David Ayer.
Goyer wrote Batman Begins. He was also involved with BVS, maybe. He was also...
Yes, I do believe.
And then there's some other movies he's involved with. He's involved. The guy who penned the Sarah Connor Chronicles TV spinoff for Terminator, he's involved. And so
Didn't that have somebody from Game of Thrones playing Sarah Connor?
Was that Lena Headey?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. But I never really got to watch that series, but I actually hear it's not bad, really. I kind of feel like I've heard that while it wasn't a complete masterpiece, that they really felt like it was one of those shows that ended way too early. Like they just ended up pulling the plug on it maybe after two seasons or whatever, when it probably could have went a lot longer and really grown. So Cameron got all these guys, and these guys have been working on the script and the story. And with Schwarzenegger involved, Hamilton involved, along with some of the original creative members, this is like, wow, this is what is going to become of this, right? So here's the kicker. Because it turns out that they may be ignoring Terminator Genesis altogether.
Really? Is that the most recent one?
Yes. That was the one with the other Game of Thrones actress.
Emil Clark.
Playing Sarah Connor.
Yeah.
So. All right. I read the article like earlier in the day, and I'm trying to find the exact paragraph. Because now they're like, the thought is that with Hamilton involved, with it ignoring Genesis, that this may be actually more a direct sequel to T2 and ignore 3 and Salvation as well. Which makes it interesting, because then we are dealing with a film series. And I don't know if I brought this up here or not. I might have. I watched this video that explained the Terminator franchise timeline, and there's like 3 timelines currently. So what we could be having here is a sequel to the original timeline.
Ooh.
Because then you have the secondary timeline, which you have the first and second movie, and then one would think that's the end of it.
Yeah.
But then the second timeline is Terminator 3, and then the Salvation. And then the third timeline after that is the Genesis, which goes back to the original story. So these sequels, where you have the different timelines, there are different timelines that fragment off of like the original two movies still. So
yeah.
You have 1 and 2 done, 1 and 2, 3 and Salvation. And then 1 and 2, maybe 3. And then Genesis, depending, because we have actor changes, we have timeline.
Yeah, it's weird.
We don't. I don't know if Genesis keeps to the T2 Judgment Day cycle, but what we're dealing with is now with the new. It's going to get confusing unless they come out and absolutely. Kitty, we're trying to talk about the Terminator. Shut up. I don't know how much the audience can hear this cat, but this is the same cat that just lays out when I'm doing a podcast back here and I'm talking. He just back here just mowing at the door going, "You never let me in, but you might this time." Not going to happen.
Maybe today is my lucky day.
But yeah, like, obviously, confusing universes, confusing timelines is not something that is generally out of the norm these days with films. Worse things have happened. I mean, the Wolverine movies happened. Specifically, Origins. And
yeah, Origins was pretty awful. Everything else was not bad, though.
Right, but I mean, but then you're dealing with then the whole X-Men timeline movies. You have the original three movies, and then you have Days of Future Past, which goes back and erases like
the third movie.
The third movie. It doesn't. But in order to really enjoy it, you have to watch the third movie.
Yeah.
Like if you're gonna watch the movies, you have to go and watch, because you can't have Days of Future Past without three. But then it rectifies the damage that three caused.
Yep.
So it's this weird thing where you're sitting here watching this movie going, "I don't like this movie. This movie sucks, but I got to watch this because if I don't watch this, then the other one won't make sense."
Yeah, it's weird. But it's something about X-Men I was going to tell you, and I just cannot remember. Oh, well. Oh, I do remember. The guy that played Colossus originally, X2 and X3. Is coming back to play Colossus in the Dark Phoenix storyline. But that's not cool. The guy that was in Deadpool.
So now we got two different... In Fox, we got... Okay, so... So is Deadpool in the X-Men universe or is he not?
I don't know. Maybe he's going to be not in the X-Men universe in the near future. Who knows? Maybe he'll be in the Marvelverse before this is all said and done.
If Fox won't let him up.
Who knows what Fox will do?
Fox will not.
I mean, they're grasping at straws right now.
They're not, dude, they're not financially hurt. He was, it's the biggest rated R movie opening of all time. They are not getting rid of him. Maybe. Fantastic Four, if they were like, we failed at this, let's just get rid of it and get some money.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
Unless they feel like they can do something like your guys' idea with the TV show or something from last week's episode. But the X-Men verse is not hurting them right now. And then you have Deadpool, which is like a cash cow. Deadpool 2 is going to be even bigger than the first one. The first one came out on such a low budget for what it was. It, like, they had no faith in it. And, I mean, this next one's going to be a monster. And it, especially with how popular the first one was.
I don't think we have to wait very much longer. That's, like, February of 2018, right? Or June of 2018. It's next year for sure.
You know,
there's so
right.
many great movies next year.
But we still have this year to worry about because we have Justice League stuff to talk about.
Oh, yeah, dude. Early screeners. People getting to see the movie, I'm fucking jealous. I want to be that person.
I know, we got medias.
Yeah, we can talk about it and not talk about it until it's time to talk about it, and then we'll talk a lot about it.
Exactly.
And if we decide we're going to talk about it, we wouldn't talk about it while we were recording ourselves talking about
it. This kitty is now up to like the bottom of my door with his paw sticking through, going,
"Meow. Here's kitty."
Pet my belly. That whole seat. Well, okay. So apparently I have something playing in the background.
Oh, no.
Of one of these web pages I have up because of automatic videos playing sites. Stop it.
Knock it off.
Stop
it. Hey, Brando, real quick while you're dealing with that, I do want a last little bit of Marvel news. It seems that they already canceled the Inhuman series.
Really?
It hasn't even aired yet. It will air. Don't get me wrong. They're not going to cancel it and not air what they've already done. But they are billing. Go to AB series and it's only one season. So either it's got to really perform well, because it did not perform well as an IMAX movie, or the little feature they did where they put it in IMAX, it did not do well. It was a bust. And with that being said, like, you look at it, and they just said, look, let's cut our losses now. If people end up loving this show and it turns out to be something fucking awesome, they can sign another season. They can say, we'll do another season, and that wasn't the complete series, and change their minds. But as right now, it just doesn't look good. It looks like they're going, they don't have any faith in this. And maybe they want to end up making it a movie down the road, too. Because I think some of the casting is brilliant. I just think that you don't have a great director. The guy that did Iron Fist is at the helm, and there's a lot of flack for him, you know, his performance. And, you know, haters gonna hate. If you got a bunch of people that don't like you, and, you know, people are mad that you did Iron Fist dirty, don't, you know, don't do the Inhumans dirty is all I got to say. Now back to Justice League.
Actually, I had one more thing for Marvel.
Oh, sure.
Kitty, shut up. But wait. I wish I had a little squirt bottle. I squirt the crap out of this cat.
You should get that. That's genius.
So the Defenders is the lowest rated, lowest watched Netflix launch of a new series. Like, it is the least watched new series from Netflix. It's hard to say that because it's not really ratings here.
No. It's weird because it's downloads. But you know what happened? And, you know, and I don't think they really planned for this. Motherfucker, I haven't seen Luke Cage or Iron Fist yet, and I need to see the Defenders. How am I going to watch the Defenders and not know about these other characters that well? I got to watch the others.
There's also another factor here.
Okay.
It didn't really review that well.
You know, I heard that. I heard that reviews were kind of mediocre, that there was a lot shoehorned in through the season. I feel like, did Poor Boy review it already? I feel like Poor Boy reviewed it.
He might
feel like you watched it.
With as many podcasts as I listen to, I don't always get a chance to listen to every single thing that's on our network. I always try to, but I still haven't listened to the most recent Podcastrophe, the most recent Poor Report. I haven't listened to that yet. Or even episode 4 of Voice. I haven't listened to that yet. But basically, I was following reviews for Defenders as most sites do. It's like some sites, they do like review in progress.
Yeah. Since,
you know, and it was like the first couple episodes just don't review very well. And then then you get a couple good episodes. But overall, it was just like, it was kind of mediocre.
Middle of the road.
But one more thing before we go to Justice League. And I promise, guys, we are going to get to Justice League. We got stuff to talk about. The Punisher trailer that came out this week.
Holy fuck, it was made for us, Brandon.
I know.
It was like, hey, Brandon, hey, Nate, do you happen to like The Punisher? And we were like, yeah.
Yeah.
I fucking like The Punisher. Check, okay. And they were like, hey, Brandon, hey, Nate, do you also like Metallica? And I was like, son of a bitch, you got me. You got me good this time, Marvel. Darkness imprisoning me, man. Perfect song choice.
Oh, dude, it was awesome. And I love the way they edited in the da-da-da-da-da-da with like the gunfire.
Yeah, it was great.
It was
action-packed.
And so we don't know the release date for this series yet.
November something.
Well, there's rumors that it actually might be within like 3 weeks from now.
Whoa.
And that, like, the actual number's hidden somewhere.
Huh.
But I don't know.
That's weird. That'd be weird for Netflix to do that so close to Stranger Things dropping.
I agree, but most people are going to watch it in the weekend anyway.
You goddamn right. you're not far off there.
Now, here's the thing is that, I'll be honest with you, my general interest in watching the other Marvel shows, the Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, not really that high. Not really interested in those characters that much. I like Daredevil. I liked what they did with the season 1 and season 2.
Yep.
I like The Punisher. I like Jon Bernthal. I liked his portrayal of The Punisher. I'm in this day one.
Yep.
Day one, I am in with this. Cannot wait for that series to come out. So, Justice League. So, early advanced screenings of this have been done. People have seen the movie, Nate, and they're rumbling about it. And so, here's what they've been saying. What's going on? Basically, some people were pretty impressed by what they saw. Now, you know, that's a good sign because people aren't coming out here saying this is BVS Revisited. And here is what BatmanNews.com
I trust them.
Tweeted. Spoke to three people who attended the Justice League's test screening. They loved it. Epic quotes. One person didn't like BVS or Suicide Squad, but loved Justice League. So, now, I've been pretty, like, my interest level has been pretty, I'm trying to think of the right word, meh for Justice League until the trailer that we talked about for San Diego Comic-Con this year, which blew my mind. I was like, okay, I am ready for this goddamn movie. And which is why I was equally as furious with Marvel, because I understand that movie's a little bit further down the line. We don't want to put stuff in trailers that aren't going to be there, you know, but I don't care. That's the thing. We don't need that. You know, like, I don't need to see. In fact, you know what? I would like to see more things that are in trailers that are not in the movie. Just to throw me off. Just to throw me off. Just to throw me off. I just be like, you know what?
How many times do you see a movie trailer and you're like, I fucking saw the movie. I don't need to see the movie now. I saw the trailer.
A lot of comedies.
So many.
Most of the funniest parts, you know, are in the trailer. You know, I don't like to watch comedies. I haven't liked to watch comedies for like 15, 17 years because number one, I'm not a fan of this like goofy kind of comedy that's out now. It's just not me. I kind of grew out of that. Like, there's certain actors that I'm okay with it, but I don't want to watch him that much anymore. Like Jim Carrey. No offense to Jim Carrey.
He's going crazy.
Well, no offense to him. I mean, he's doing his thing, and he's got some stuff going on with Showtime. He's doing some series and stuff. No offense to him, and I think he can be a great actor, but just that style of movie, and that's not what now is completely doing, but it just seems like the modern comedies are just everyone's yelling.
Yeah. No, I'm louder!
Yeah.
No, but I'm louder.
You know, like, it's funny because I know Poor Boy, he live tweeted the Emmys. And one of his most popular tweets was a crossover film with Melissa McCarthy and who else?
Dave Chappelle.
I would not be in line for that. Because I do not like Melissa McCarthy in anything.
Yeah, I know. You have a great disdain for her.
I do. She's just like, she's like Roseanne without the charm. You know? I mean, Roseanne, okay. I mean, and even Roseanne, and like not always, like, she's not always peaking at like 9 or 10. She kind of like comes down here and she kind of rests at like a 3 where she's really uninteresting. But also being very condescending. But then when she rises to the peak, she can be entertaining with that because you don't see it all the time. But then with Melissa McCarthy, I just kind of feel like when you boil an egg and you crack it, it's like that's the trick to that. I mean, or like a bottle rocket, poof.
Poop. That was so bland. Poop.
It's kind of like a one-trick pony. And maybe I'm wrong, and maybe you could just lash away at me, but that's just kind of how I feel. That's one reason why I refused to watch Ghostbusters. It's like, it really seemed like her character or just, okay, now this is me in the trailers. I have not watched this damn movie because I saw the trailers and went, no.
Nope.
Well, it kind of seemed like they were positioning her to be like the Bill Murray-esque wildest type character.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm just like, she's not Bill Murray.
She plays a lot of the same characters in every movie. The klutzy lady. If klutzy lady could be a term in the dictionary, klutzy lady would have Melissa McCarthy's face. Just like, or like falling like, you know? Because it's weird because I liked her in The Heat, which is one of the few movies of hers I've seen. And then the next movie I tried to watch of hers was Tammy, which was just her same character as what she played in The Heat, except for instead of being a cop, this time she was a poor chick. And I was like, but you're playing the same character. You haven't changed anything. Like, you're same voice, same style, same presence, same comedic energy like Chris Farley with your physical comedy of hurting yourself. Like, yeah, there's only so much of that a person can take.
And see, and there's some characters, there's some character actors, maybe, if you want to call them that, that they play that same character and is that same person. It's like, well, you know, how often do you see Walken do any other voice? And it's like Keanu Reeves in doing like Dracula. It's like, oh, for where are thou, Dracula? I totally went to Romeo and Juliet because I couldn't think of a single line that he had. But he speaks in that same tone. Oh,
Romeo and Dracula.
Oh, that's a great love story. Dracula.
Still a better love story than Twilight. You know.
Oh, I'm right here. Oh, whoa. Like, would you like a crumpet?
That was random.
How many lumps do you take with your tea, Count Dracula?
You gotta understand what a crumpet is to know what cricket is. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Anyway, there's another Justice League news. Dude, there's one more. Apparently, we got some characters being cut left and right from this movie. Apparently, they've been totally downgraded Darkseid probably to just being, like, mentioned or revealed. And it turns out maybe Lex, apparently there was going to be this whole side plot with Lex using Deathstroke to get out of prison and then him sending Deathstroke after Batman, which is supposed to be the plot of the Batman.
Okay.
But I guess not anymore, because not only have they cut Lex Luthor from the movie, they've cut the entire script for the Batman. So that's up in the air. There was another character. Oh, Iris West got cut.
Iris,
from the movie.
Yeah.
She got cut from the movie as well. So a lot of things happening with this movie. A lot of changes going on, more than what I thought, more than what maybe even you thought, Nate. With Whedon coming in, Whedon's not getting a directing credit at all. Also, I also read that Snyder is like not even worried about this thing. He's not even checking in on it. He's like he's making iPhone movies right now. And he's like, I'm just doing my own thing. That movie will come out. It'll do what it's doing. You know, but Whedon's gonna get like a screenplay credit, screenplay by Joss Whedon. Even though he's doing all this extra work, directed by Zack Snyder, to an extent,
kinda.
But I mean, this movie's going to be a interesting thing to dissect, because when we go to watch this film, we're going to be, I know me and you are going to be doing this. We're going to be eyeing to see what's Snyder and what's Whedon, and can we tell?
Yep, the whole movie.
or like before, is Whedon going to be able to blend the Snyder style with this style that he's trying? Obviously, he's trying to come in and help finish the movie. So he's not going to come in and make his Justice League. He's going to make decisions. He's in charge of the project at this point, I would assume. So he's going to make decisions based upon what he feels like needs to get done. But he's also not going to try and completely tear apart what Snyder has created with this movie.
It's kind of like taking a thing of mashed potatoes and molding it. Like, the mashed potatoes were already made by someone else. And you're making, like, the plateau and the Close Encounters of the Third Kind, if you ever saw that movie. The plateau of mashed potatoes real high. Like, that's what Whedon is doing right now. He's like, fuck, all I've got to work with is this mashed potatoes. And I can only cut out so much, and I can only add so much to do what I can do to make it better. I use air quotes on that. But I think that we are going to be looking for Joss Whedon throughout the movie and what he does. But what we're also going to be looking for, Brando, is very much with Batman versus Superman. What was the big thing you complained about? That movie was okay in theaters. When you saw the extended cut, you liked it better. Meaning that they relegate important stuff to one line. If you miss it, tough shit.
Yeah, they can't do that anymore.
Whedon has to go through and cleverly find out where to edit out Superman's mustache.
Just keep it in, man. Just keep it in. Throwing people off. Like, wait, did Henry Cavill just have a mustache? Next scene. Nope. Scene after that.
That is
mustache back.
That is Senior Batman. Senior Superman.
Can you imagine if Batman had like this badass mustache and we're like, wow, cool mustache, Batman. And then, like, the next day, Bruce Wayne's like, nice mustache, Mr. Wayne. Oh, yes, I know. I've been working on it. It looks awfully familiar. Although,
why is it cut like a bat, Bruce? What's up with that?
Well, you know, I always thought that Affleck's chin was going to give him away, but apparently not.
No, I don't think it did. That's so weird. Everything is so weird in the DC universe, Brando.
I know. Like, it's like everything's on his head. We don't know what, you know, the rumor is John Cena's playing Shazam.
The Rock's playing Black Adam.
Yeah, I know, man. We're going to get the third WrestleMania match on big
screen. WrestleMania 35 happening in Shazam.
It's going to be interesting to see how things kind of play out. We also have Star Wars coming out this year.
Oh, yeah. So excited. Super stoked.
Same. And apparently that has also been early screened.
I kill a fool.
Well, people are liking it. They also say it's different.
Okay.
And they say that this isn't just Empire rehashed. So rest easy. They also said this movie is going to be divisive.
Oh,
and it's going to split fans.
Interesting.
Now the rumor is that they may be changing something within Jedi lore.
Okay.
Basically making it where the Jedi maybe aren't the saints that they've always been perceived. They've been hiding something dark. That's the rumor. It's, of course, people might have their brains explode over that. Now, Nate, I mentioned while I was in my exodus that there was something I wanted to talk about when I came back. And I've been watching several theory videos. And this isn't necessarily a theory. It is, because we don't know if it's true. Some dude has been getting information from an anonymous emailer.
Okay.
And this emailer has been accurate.
Okay.
So bear with me here.
Sure.
This has to do with the origin of Snoke. Of course, Snoke is the sort of the Palpatine of this new trilogy, the figurehead in the shadows, the guy that's pulling the strings.
COO of the First Order.
Yes, exactly. Also, remember those words, First Order, in this. So who is Snoke? We often wondered. I've heard a whole theory about how it's Mace Windu.
Interesting, but I don't think so.
Nah, no. So, basically the idea here, potential spoilers, guys, so if you
want to... Wait a minute, I know who it is. Before I know, I figured it out.
Who?
It's Gollum from Lord of the Rings.
Well, I mean, technically... Sort of. Technically, yeah. Yes. It's still Andy Serkis.
That's all I got.
It's also like Planet of the Apes, right?
Oh, yeah. He's Caesar in Planet of the Apes. He's also, I can't remember his name, but he was in Age of Ultron. He's a Black Panther villain.
Oh, shoot. Claw. Yeah.
Ulysses Claw.
Yes.
I don't know why I couldn't remember Ulysses. It should just be a common name that rolls off my tongue on the day to day.
So, Snoke is a Sith from the Old Republic.
Ooh.
That was in hibernation. He's like a Force vampire.
Okay.
He sucks the Force out of you. He feeds off of it.
Okay.
So if this was a Old Republic Sith no one knew existed, S-N-O-K-E.
Sith no one knew existed. What's the E? Oh, no, wait. Never
wow.
mind, I got it.
All right, man. Existed, bro. Snoke.
Yeah.
All right.
Spelled out.
So what we're looking at is a potential villain from the Old Republic days. Here's also some extra theory. Snoke started the prophecy about the Chosen One.
But it's not real.
He started it to get the Jedi to keep the cycle going. That way more people got found, more Force users for him to feed off of. For him to stay alive.
Love it.
Now, if he suddenly he's entombed or whatever, he's feeding off the Force, right? Now imagine something happens in that is so impactful with the Force that it wakes him up.
The death of Anakin Skywalker.
Think about it. He said he saw the Empire rise and fall.
Okay. So the Emperor?
Order 66.
Oh. So the... From Revenge of the Sith, when Order 66 happens and it's the decimation of the Jedi... The mass exodus of Jedi awoke him?
Imagine if he is feeding off of the Force.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Say, like the idea is like maybe he's in tune somewhere where you know, like these people who are not as in tune with it, their essence disseminates back into the Force. So he's feeding off this and he's going... All those people, all those Jedis go to him.
He got full really quick.
And he woke up.
But that means he's been around during...
The Empire.
He's been in the shadows.
Yes.
Whoa.
And with all the Jedi being hunted down, he's too weak to do much. But he's almost healed. But he needs the last Jedi.
Oh. To fully heal. And Rey is the last Jedi.
Or Luke.
Ooh.
Now, if someone can feed off the Force, suck the Force out of you.
Mm-hmm.
here's another level of this mind fuckery.
Sure.
He would be able to absorb the energy of a Force ghost. With a Force ghost existing within the Force, right? They have returned to the Force. They are one with it. If he's a Legacy of Kain Soul Reaver, where he like sucks the souls.
Yeah.
Imagine if he killed forever Obi-Wan or Yoda.
Whoa.
And they're gone from the Force. Their essence is eliminated. And he absorbs their essence, their power. I don't know. This whole stuff was like, man, I like it because check this out. We have this villain that has ties to the Old Republic. When Disney bought Lucas and got Star Wars, they axed all of the extended universe. All the other books, all this other stuff that has been going on for years pissed a lot of people off. There's one thing that remains, and that's the Old Republic.
Mm-hmm.
That's because the Old Republic MMO is still going on right now from BioWare. It hasn't been touched. That is still canon. The two games prior to that, Knights of the Old Republic, 1 and 2, and the books that coincide with that are canon. We could potentially, after this trilogy, get an Old Republic movie or set of movies.
A prequel set?
A prequel set.
That would be
set.
Amazing. Because meaning we would get Darth Revan?
Revan. Potentially. I would pretty much cream at the idea of telling Revan's story on film. It's an amazing story. People who have no idea what to expect in those movies would just be like, that's a twist that was just done so good, so well. I mean, basically what you're doing is that the main character of this story, your character, is the Sith Lord that was usurped by his apprentice, Darth Malak. And in the game, no matter which path you decide to do, it fits. Do you not? You don't remember who you were, but you know who you were.
Mm-hmm.
So do you go, well, you know what? I don't care who I was. I am who I am now. I'm going to go stop Malak. Not for the Jedi, but for myself. But also for the Jedi, for the good of the galaxy. Or you can be like, bitch, I was Revan. I am Revan again. And I will have my fucking revenge. And that's the way you can play it.
My revenge?
Now, unfortunately, KOTAR 2 was never officially finished.
Really?
Yeah, LucasArts gave him less than a year of development time for that, maybe. A little bit over.
Wow.
And Obsidian asked for more time, and they said no. So the ending of that game is very abrupt, and it's most of KOTAR 2 is amazing. And then you get at the end, and you're just like, huh? But you don't play as Revan in 2. You play as the Outcast, which was a Jedi who left the Order with Revan and Malak. Basically, Nate, the quick terms here is that the Mandalorians were starting to attack the Republic colonies.
Yep.
The Republic asked the Jedi's for help, and the Jedi's are like, we're staying out of it. And Revan was like, we serve the Republic. They need our help. And the Jedi are like, you will do nothing. You know, you go, you are gone. You are no longer a member of the Jedi Order. So he gives him the finger. Malak goes with him, and then some Jedi go with him. And they go, and they fight the Mandalorians in the Mandalorian War. And that ends up leading to the fall, to the dark side. But you play as the Outcast character. So Revan is now missing in KOTAR 2.
Whoa.
and the Jedi Order at this point is in shambles. After KOTAR 1, some events happened that make it to where no matter how you played the game, it's still in shambles. So either something happened because you were good, or something happened that you were bad.
And you were looking for love in Alderaan places.
In all the Ron places?
Alderaan, yeah.
Alderaan. Okay, because at first first I thought you said all the Ron places, like all the Ron Weasleys.
Yeah, Ron Weasley.
But dude, I'm so excited. I'm so excited for the Last Jedi. I'm thoroughly excited that JJ is back. I know that some people are not. I'm pretty happy. I know that JJ was not excited about some of the changes that Rian Johnson made. So we'll get to see how that kind of affects it. You know, JJ for this instance to me was like Old Faithful for them. It was the safest bet at this point for keeping this movie on track and not getting out, having it get delayed. They lost their director at a very inopportune time. And having somebody like JJ, who just did 7, be available to come in to do 9, I want to see what he's going to do, because he had the hard task of starting this thing over again. And now he's going to have the task of finishing it. And then he's going to have to go off of what The Last Jedi does, even if he doesn't like it or not. He's going to have to, okay, so he has his movie, which led into this movie. And then he's going to look at that, and he's going to see the story elements, and he goes, where do we take it from here?
Yeah, like, oh, shit, you did. That's not how I would have done it. That's a little different. Now I got to fit.
But then it's like, maybe not how he would have done it, but now it's done. So it's like, now let's go. Let's make this into something. So it's going to be very interesting, and I'm very excited to see this movie. Getting more excited to see the Han Solo film than I was thinking of. Originally, like, I just like Rogue One, it's like the interest is not there. But now that Ron Howard's involved,
trailer one will drop and we'll be like,
right, dude. I'm telling you, I want the Ewan McGregor Obi-Wan movie.
It would be awesome, man. It really would be.
I want the whole thing. I don't know if I've said it on a podcast or not, but here's how I want. I want the Ewan McGregor Obi-Wan trilogy to be this, okay? Okay. He goes off on this big adventure, right?
Sure.
Like, he's living on Tatooine, and you have 3 movies where he's gone maybe for longer than when he wants to be gone, right? You know, maybe he's gone 5 to 10 years. And he, all through this big story, this big epic story, like, man, we just had 3 awesome Obi-Wan movies. And that last movie is when he's starting to get old. And the last scene of the movie is him sitting down going, and then he's like looking around. And all of a sudden he hears,
and it's,
nah, 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 nah. And then,
right before A New Hope's scene with his first appearance.
Exactly. Like, he's sitting down and he's tired. Like he's been gone the whole, like, for the last 10 years. He's tired, man. He's like, and which is funny because.
Can we call the third? Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was just going to say, can we call the third one Old Man Obi?
Old Man Obi.
Instead of Old Man Logan?
I just think it'd be hilarious to have him be so tired and worn out at this point. That he finally gets home, he finally gets to rest, and then he has that, and then that leads him. He goes and helps Luke, and then he sits down and gets the message from R2, and he's sitting there like this going,
I just wanted a vacation. You fuckers wouldn't give it.
You know, he sits there and he's like, you're the learned ways of the Force. If you couldn't have come to be with me to Alderaan. It's like, well, I can't do that. You know, young Mark Hamill is just hilarious to me.
Yeah, he's very weaselly. And not Ron Weasley, but like a weasel. You know what I'm saying?
Runel Waslib. Do you remember that?
Runel Waslib.
And one of the books or Harry Potter stories. He ends up, which one is it? Is it like the sixth book or something like that? Where he ends
Half-blood
up,
Prince.
He ends up having like a, he ends up with like a quill. And I think it's a joke quill from like one of his brother's like shops. And what he ends like, so it like when Ron tries to write his name, it like autocorrects it as he's writing it to Runel Waslib.
I do remember. I think that is the sixth movie. Yeah, Runel Waslib. Great memory. I didn't remember that.
Because like they do the whole fake out with Snape finding the book. It's like, whose book is this, Potter? It's mine. Runel Waslib. it's a nickname. It's like, it's so stupid.
It's what the kids call me. It's what all the cool kids are calling me right now.
I'm Runel.
How's it going, Waslib? What up? Or do we call it the last one, by the way? Back to Obi-Wan.
The last one.
Yeah. I meant to say Old Man Wan. And the last one came out. It's so much better. Oh, damn it. I didn't mean to do that. Dude, I was playing Guardians of the Galaxy, the Telltale game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Fuck that game.
I'm sorry.
Do you want to know why?
Why?
Because I downloaded it on my PlayStation 4, and Episode 3 has a glitch that makes it to where I can't finish Episode 3. What happens is, if you're curious, in Episode 3 of Guardians, you meet the Mantis character, which sounds similar to the Mantis character from Guardians 2. Same as far as what the character can do. She's an empath and everything. But thing is that she's having a conversation, and she's going to tell everyone, hey, here's my big story of how everything came to be and how I found out that Star-Lord is the celestial one I've been looking for. And when you answer the question, it just doesn't trigger the next cutscene. And it goes to you being able to control Star-Lord, except for there's no prompts. No one's moving. You can hear Gamora and Nebula arguing, but they're nowhere near each other in the room. They're across the room from each other. And it's weird because, like, the first time it happened, it didn't show me this table. So I was like, oh, maybe I gotta go to this table. And then the second time it showed me the table, but I still couldn't go to the fucking table. So I looked online, and it is a glitch, and they only fixed it on Steam. They have not fixed it for PlayStation 4. I cannot now beat Guardians, because I can't beat Episode 3, because it fucking glitched on me. Are you kidding me?
That's sad. I'm sorry to hear that.
Man. And I tried virtual reality, Brando.
I heard.
What the F word right now? I didn't even talk about the other crazy thing. Sarah played this one called Wilson's Heart.
I'm sorry, you cut out what?
And lapped in like this insane asylum. I cut out? Uh-oh. Am I good now?
Yes.
Okay, groovy. So what I was saying is Sarah played this game called Wilson's Heart, and it's like a noir game. It's like black and white, and you're imprisoned in this like insane asylum, and you have to get out. And, you know, so you're like looking, and you look at your hand, and you see that there are like these things. You can pull the pins out, and then you can unshackle yourself from the chains. She said it was like having a very lucid dream because she could pick things up and read. Except for she could not read them because it was jumble mumbo jumbo in video game speak. So it was like very out of body, you know, like she thought she could read the door and the door didn't say room 1497. It said Borsch left of happening. As best as I can make it up, you know, that virtual reality is a cool experience.
That was like me playing Snake Eater and not knowing Russian. So, like, when you would go to the new areas, like, it would be in Russian and it would be in English. And I'm like, I don't know what that says. I mean, obviously like, you do because it translated, but it's like, I don't know. I wouldn't even begin. Like, I don't even know like their alphabet that well. So
like, I wanted to point at the screen and just be like, I did not know that. Did you guys know that random word that I still can't say in Russian was that for this English word? Like, what the hell? Oh, Brando. I feel like there's a bunch of other comic book stuff. Oh my God, there is comic book stuff because the CW just released the first teaser announcement thing. This is all going to tie in so beautifully. So they announced the teaser and whatnot for the crossover event. This year's CW crossover event is super cool. Monday night, you get Supergirl and Arrow for one time only, airing on Monday night. Tuesday night, you get Flash and Legends. So in two nights, you get four shows, the whole crossover condensed into a two-night special event. I think it's November 27th and 28th. They're doing Crisis on Earth X. Earth X, this character, the Ray, who gets tricked into being a test subject that instead of dying, he actually becomes as powerful as light, like a ray of light. He comes from Earth X. Earth X is really fucked up because the Nazis won World War II on Earth X. So everyone is a Nazi. Everyone has been converted to a Nazi. There are no good guys and bad guys, just Nazi guys. Okay? So, Oliver Queen is a Nazi. And Barry Allen is a Nazi. But see, Barry Allen doesn't look like the Flash. He looks like the Reverse Flash and has two lightning bolts on his chest that look like what? SS. SS, right? Makes sense. Crazy. It's a huge crossover. You've got characters from Legends, Supergirl, Flash, Arrow all coming together. Maybe some returning characters, some first-time appearances of characters. The Ray character is actually going to appear on CW Seed Show that's going to kind of introduce him as a cartoon character so you get an idea of what he's about, and then they will bring him to live action. Not that they are directly tied, but kind of so people can see what he's like as far as his character set before he makes his transition to TV.
Now, didn't they do a couple of episodes in the Justice League cartoon based upon the Crisis on
Earth X? Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
Because I remember that vividly. We're like,
yeah,
we're like that world's Batman is like an underground fighter fighting against the SS.
Yeah,
I remember it because I remember watching it like maybe like 15 years ago or whatever. And they have the SS symbol everywhere, but never a swastika. And I was like, as you know, watching that, I'm like, I'm very like interested as to why. Obviously, the whole idea behind imagery and iconography with symbols and everything. Yeah. They didn't want to put swastikas in there for political reasons, and that's okay. I don't think it would have hurt anything at that point. It's a historical thing, and it fits the story that you're telling. You know, it's like, you know, what's that show? There's that show on Amazon. I watched the first episode of it, and that was it. Where
The Tick?
No, not The Tick. It was that show where the Nazis in Japan won World War II.
I don't know what that was. I don't have Amazon, so I didn't see it.
Gosh, I'm trying to remember the name of that. The Man in High Castle.
Okay. Oh, yeah. The Man in the High Castle. It's funny that you say that because so the CW Seed Show does have a lot of swastikas because that's the cartoon they're going to set up, Crisis on Earth X. The weird thing is the Barry in the cartoon as like the quote-unquote Reverse Flash is just a black-suited Barry Allen with two S's. They're kind of all uniform like that, at least in the cartoon. So in the show, it's like they're going to take and re-envision, you know, Barry Allen as a Reverse Flash Nazi. It's going to be fucking weird and wild. What's his name? The guy, Stephen Amell, said that he would have a new costume for the crossover. And he's not wrong, because essentially this crossover is going to be the team fighting themselves the whole episode. Because it'll be other versions of themselves they're fighting. Which is interesting because you don't have to make Oliver fight Oliver the whole crossover. It could be some of the legends fighting that Oliver, some of Team Flash fighting their Supergirl, Dark Supergirl, or whatever the hell she's called. I don't actually know what she's called. That's a fuck up on my part. I should know that. But I was really excited, man. It hyped me for not knowing a whole lot about Earth-X and then doing a little bit of research on what I didn't know about Earth-X. I was just very stoked. You look at this poster, and it's a definite homage to an earlier Justice League. I want to say, like, Justice League 103 or 203, something like that. It's kind of more the cover that they took from. But using Crisis as one of their events, you're not even halfway through Flash's run. We know that that will probably end with Crisis on Infinite Earths is the final story they tell for the Flash. That way Barry can sacrifice himself, save everybody, then become the lightning that strikes Barry Allen so Barry Allen can become the Flash. As fucked up and confusing as that is. So I'm really looking forward to this season CW shows. Gotham just dropped. I needed to watch it, and I haven't yet got a chance. But season 4 of Gotham, we've got it's a fear season, all Scarecrow all the time. Bruce doing a prototype bat suit, starting his crime-fighting journey. You know, the kid that plays Batman or plays Bruce Wayne said, I don't know if I'll ever suit up. And I think even Brando at one point you had said, wouldn't it just be so cool if the final scene of Gotham was him suiting up for the first time? It seems like that timetable has been extremely sped up. And now we're getting a prototype suit, early younger Batman, you know, before things get super crazy. Season 3 just dropped on Netflix, so people can catch up. If you haven't seen Gotham, I know the episodes are long. It's 22-episode season. But I will say Gotham is very worth the length of episode. But Brando, we're not too far out also from Walking Dead. That's awesome. Did you read the comic yet? Did 171?
No, I listened to your review.
I mean, yeah, that's pretty much it.
I downloaded it to read and then never got around to it. Did you notice that we have two series in the DC television world that take place before that set series, like, iconic character becomes who they become?
Okay.
And they're both named after the after a place.
Okay, so you're talking Gotham.
And Smallville.
And Smallville. Weird, Brando, that you bring that up. I just started Smallville this week. I started the first episode, and I was kind of jamming on it. It's really kind of hokey and hard to watch because the effects don't hold up. But so far, the story's holding up, so I'll see if I like Smallville. Maybe I'll get hooked on that shit, too.
I actually did watch just a little bit of Smallville back in the day. Not bad, not bad. I enjoyed what I watched.
Yeah, man. It was good. I was going to peruse the headlines. I feel like I had another thing I wanted to bring up to you, and my brain is just not working right now. What am I looking for? Oh, dude, are you really hyped on Thor Ragnarok, by the way?
Probably more than I was the other two Thor movies. Yeah.
Me too. I feel that way too. I'm like jazzed to see it. And I'm also like, as you said, like the first two movies were good. The second one is kind of unmemorable. Like Thor the Dark World, I've seen it twice and I still don't know what the fuck happened in the movie. Like, and maybe that's just who I am as a person. But I know all the other movies that Marvel did, and it's actually interesting.
I remember like the beginning part of the second Thor movie when he's like, when they have Loki and they have him locked up and all that stuff. I remember that stuff, but after him like going with him, I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Stuff. Like, yeah, it is a pretty like unmemorable film.
Oh, wow. Here's an interesting thing. Only 4 hours old, Brando. It looks like they say Justice League is estimated for a $150 million opening for weekend at box office. Now, that doesn't come out till like November 18th, I think, or something like that, November 4th or something. It's weird because Thor comes out so close to Justice League, you know? This is like one of the few times they went really, really head-to-head. Last time we thought they were going to go head-to-head was the Civil War BVS thing. And the BVS got pushed in favor of other things. So, just to kind of go back to Justice League. Today that we're recording this is Batman Day, Brando. Happy Batman Day.
Wow.
I'm wearing...
We totally just jinxed each other.
Yeah, pinch poke, you owe me a Coke. Batman's my favorite. That's all I know. I don't really have any other headlines, Brando. Where do you want to go from here, my friend?
Well, I bought a new old game.
Okay, what's your new old game?
Okay, so Sony at Tokyo Game Show, they announced that Final Fantasy IX was coming to PS4.
Sweet.
And this is the Steam version, the iOS version, that got remade. And it got released for $20 for the first week until the 25th, which is too late now, guys. Sorry. It was on sale for 20% off. And I picked it up. They have kind of like added some effects as far as like they've kind of they remastered the character models. So they look really damn good. Because FF9 looks up, like it actually holds up graphically.
Well, yeah, because that was right when PS2 had already come out. So they were running on all full steam ahead, right?
Dude, FF9 burn up PlayStations. Like PS1s.
Yep.
FF9 killed them. Killed a few PS1s like in its day. But I replayed that like maybe like 4 years ago. And I felt like it graphically, it looked pretty damn good. And the only complaint that I have so far is that in this newer version, the character models look so good that the original like drawn background art for your levels look like shit.
Looks horrendous.
Not horrendous, noticeably bad.
Okay, noticeably bad.
It's just
episode title. Noticeably bad.
Well, I mean, it just does, and it's unfortunate because I really feel like that's something that FF9 really excelled at was having really good background art, and then the character models were just like really decently good, not really like, you know, if they're able to keep the same quality in their remaster with the background, it would have, like, this game would almost look like a modern day game.
Yeah.
But I mean, it is FF9. I bought it for two reasons. One, to have it accessible, on a higher res TV. Even though I do have my options, I have PS TV, I have the Vita, you know, I have the PSP, I have ways to play this game. I'm not hurting for ways to play this game. The second reason was because we want to stream at some point. We're trying to get that going for the Game Addicts and easy stream setup. It's on PS4. I'm streaming.
Yep.
So we don't have a way to stream our older systems yet. So this would be a guaranteed way to stream 9. Would be just to stream the PS4 version. And I picked it up. I fired it up and was playing it. And it takes me back. It's one of my favorite games of all time.
Awesome. So you're happy with your purchase?
Oh, I mean, yes. Even though like the second thing out of my mouth was like a derogatory thing towards it. FF9 is... It gets lost in the shuffle because of the launch of the PS2 around the same time. It does get lost. And people don't think about it. You know, it's... It came out right before 10, and 10 overshadows it unnecessarily. I kind of feel like, in a lot of cases, 9 is a much better story. It definitely has way better characterization, and it definitely has really good localization and a good translation. You feel like you're in this breathing, living, breathing world when you're playing 9, And 10 was the first one with voice acting, so it was like, yeah, at a whole different level of a game. But 9, it comes after, you know, 6 and 7. So then it's got to live up to that. And then it comes before 10. So it's in this little zone of where people just kind of overlook it a lot, I feel, in favor of these bigger, like, generational gaps. You know, seeing as how, like, you know, when you were on the Super Nintendo, a lot of people played 6, and that's their favorite, or 3, if you're in America. But then the PS1 era, it's 7 a lot of times. That was a lot of people's first ones. And then you go to PS2, 10. So, you know, some people, you know, 9 was their first game, but it's less than what 7 was, because 7 was so big. 7 was the first time that Final Fantasy sold better elsewhere than it did in Japan.
Yeah.
So, love
And
9.
Then also, you got to think about kind of the cult status of 8. It isn't maybe a most perfect game, but, you know, I think that 8 had this unlucky disposition as well as 9, that, you know, it came out right after 7, and you got to live up to that hype, and nothing can.
No, but I honestly, I feel like 9 is the game to follow up 7. 8 is good for what it is. I really enjoy 8. A lot of people don't enjoy 8, but I do. But 9, it succeeds in so many ways of being not only just a great Final Fantasy, but a great game.
You don't happen to have an extra set of Final Fantasy 9 disc only, do you?
You know, I do not. I actually had to repurchase 9. On disc about 10 years ago. I loaned it to a friend who loaned me FF10-2, and I was done playing 10-2, and it took a long time to get my copy of 9 back. And guess what? I never did. That's how long it took, because I gave him back his copy of 10-2, and he mistreated my copy of 9 so badly it wouldn't even play anymore.
Are the initials the nation's capital?
Affirmative.
Okay.
So I actually ended up buying 8 and 9 together for like $30 on eBay back when I eBayed, like 06, 07. And so those copies are the greatest hits, Square Enix labeled copies. They're like the 3rd, 4th, 5th printing of those damn games. But, if I ever see that game come up for a flash sale, I will let you know. Because these games sometimes do, and you might be able to get it for like half off, because it's only $9.99 on the PSN.
Well, the reason I asked about having like an extra set of discs for PS1 is because I have an entire case and manual and everything. I just don't have the discs.
Interesting.
And that is a kind of similar situation, but kind of different. Someone had it in a CD wallet, and the CD wallet is no more. And guess what? The case is. And I want that damn game again.
I absolutely love it. The battle speed is a bit slow, especially when you've been playing other games that are faster. You go back to this one, it's just like, you sit and you're waiting and waiting, and you're like, this is max speed. That and the trance system, I got really irritated at the trance system in that game. It was the trance system was a version of like the Limit Break, and once it reached trance, you tranced, and you could get access to special moves. The only problem is it automatically put you in that state, and if you were in a random battle with just some stupid little bug, and it hit you, and it was enough to trance you, completely wasted. Now you have to wait for it to charge again. Or for it to build up. You couldn't hold it. You couldn't wait to use it. So
lame.
Sometimes, you know, you would get hit in boss battles that would be just perfect. But other times, you'd be fighting a bug. You're tranced.
Damn.
Yep.
But Brando, hey, I had a question.
What's that, buddy?
What pods have you been listening to lately?
What pods? Podcasts.
Yeah, what pods? Podcasts.
Let's take a look.
Sweet.
All right. So I have been listening to the Wrestling 20 Years Ago podcast.
Yeah, you showed me that one. They're pretty great.
I've been listening to Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. I've been listening to What Happened When Mondays, a lot of wrestling podcasts. I've been listening to I got you on video chat there, right there. Those are downloaded.
Waiting to get listened to. So, What Happened When and some networky stuff and
here lately, buddy, I've actually been taking a break from podcasts. And what I've been doing is there's a guy that I watch on Twitch and he plays games. Well, he did a Final Fantasy marathon recently in August where he played through every single Final Fantasy game besides 11 and 14.
Because you can't, because they're online only.
Well, I mean, you can.
Is there story mode, really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a story to 11 and 14, yeah. But it's you just get that story in different ways. It's just like there's a story in World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's an MMO. But, like, you get your story through quests. You get your story through, you know, it's just set up differently. And I've been watching him play it. All he's doing is talking about the story. And since he's also read the translated versions of the Ultimanium version, like the books about, like, deep as you can go in, like, any of these games. So it's like a lot of the stuff he says I know. But a lot of the other stuff, it's also him talking about that. It's also how he takes it, how he sees it, how he, you know, relates it. And it sitting there just, and I'll be laying in bed, getting ready to go to bed, and I'll just pop him on, turn my phone. It's on YouTube. I'll turn it upside down, and I'll just listen and fall asleep.
So I've been listening to a wide variety of podcasts. As I said last week, I got us into that group, the group that does all the different
podcasts we listen to.
I've been doing reviews of a bunch of different shows and checking a lot of different stuff out. I don't have anything really this week. It was really weird. This week I felt like I had so much pressure on myself to not ruin the network the week you were gone that I didn't really listen to a whole lot. I listened to the Introvert podcast. I don't know if you know about that. This lady, Amy, she's an introvert, but she's really great on a microphone. So she just talks about her life and not leaving her apartment a lot and just, like, life as an introvert. It's different. It was good. But in not listening to a lot of podcasts, I had to focus my energy on, like, what do I do also? And I think we should announce it here, Brando, because something really huge happened for Journey into Comics. It also happened for Game Addicts podcast. And the way this all went down is I feel like... Do you remember that point in time when I was getting overcharged on Podbean for like a year and a half?
Yes, I do.
I think they finally were like, "Oh shit, let's say sorry to this guy in the nicest way possible."
I will say I tried to let you know about that. I even told you to look into it.
Yeah, I.
Then you never did.
No, of course I didn't. I didn't know any better. I was like, "Oh, it's a podcast. Whatever, it's doing its thing. It's automatic. It'll pay for itself." I didn't think I had to change anything because I didn't know how that all worked, but now I understand. Subscription-based service, they're going to grandfather you into whatever price you originally went with, even if they charge you less in the future. But I reached out to the hostess with the mostest, the Podbean, and I said, "Hey, we've been doing this since January of 2014. We've done 150 episodes. We, at 150 episodes, decided it was time to fucking grow this thing even bigger and start a network. Within that network, we now have 8 shows. One of our 8 shows is our darling show, our sister show, the Game Addicts podcast. They have their own RSS feed, but it's also still a part of the same network.
We're special that way.
You guys are. You're the archetype of what I think the future of this network might eventually become someday. Shows ever across the board with their own RSSs that can be found on our network as well. I reached out to Podbean and I was like, hey, it would be fantastic if I could figure out what I have to do, what kind of submission process to like be considered to get featured on Podbean, you know? When you go to Podbean.com, it's the first thing you see is their featured Podbean pod of the week. And then when you go on the app, it's the same thing. Their featured pod, boom, it's right there for you to see. And, you know, sometimes it's stuff that is educational. Other times it's audio dramas. One thing I recently learned is there are so fucking many of those true crime drama podcasts. It's unreal. It's like that show, that podcast Serial came out, and then everybody was like, fuck, I gotta copy that and do something. Not necessarily exactly like that, but telling of true crime tales across the nation. But to not drag this out any longer, I reach out to Podbean. I say, I want us to be featured. It would be really special. It means a lot to us. We're getting ready to hit our fourth year. And when they got back to me, Brando, they're treating us real nice, I think, you know? So I got an email from their head of communication through Podbean that said, hey, we put you on the schedule. Journey into Comics Network is our featured channel for the first week of 2018. And I was like, oh, holy shit, that's great news. And then the news got better because they said, look, we almost put you guys on Game Addicts as well for that same week. But we're going to give them their own week the following week to hype up the channel. And to get some people who maybe haven't been listeners to our stuff before finally tuning in. It's kind of great because it's like 4 long, hard years of hard work for the podcast and building it. And it's going to have a moment of culmination where we're going to be exposed to a larger audience. So get in while it's hot, folks. Tell all your friends before we're too popular and you can't talk to us like we're regular people.
Wow.
No. I say that in jest because, you know.
I'm too popular to talk to you small folk.
So what did you think about that news?
Dude, I mean, it's awesome news. It's hopefully going to bring a lot more eyes to what we're doing. Obviously, you know, we have a schedule with shows that are released. Sometimes we have weeks that are more busy than others. Needless to say, that week we're going to be really busy. We're going to have shows going, you know, every day of the week. There's even some back channel stuff going on right now. We're talking about, you know, maybe moving some shows around on like the schedule just to, you know, some shows maybe don't want to be biweekly anymore. That may be happening in the future. So I'm very excited. I'm and thank you so much for including Game Addicts in that. You know, I told Mike about that and he was really excited. And so we're going to try and plan something pretty big for that. For Game Addicts as well.
Well, man, you know, first of all, I couldn't just throw out journeyintocomics.com and say, hey, we have a network, we have 8 shows, but you can only get 7 and just leave it at that. I had to champion that Game Addicts was very integral to what we do here.
Mm-hmm.
Because very much like this is my main outlet for talking about comic books and nerdy shit and video games and stuff. Game Addicts is your main outlet to talk about your prime love.
Yes.
You know? And you have done so much for the network. And obviously, like I said, and you know that Game Addicts is a part of the network. So it didn't even seem like a question. The only way I would have done the deal would have been if you guys were involved in some way. And if they would have just come back initially and just been like, hey, we'll do a feature on Journey into Comics for week 1, I would have said that's great, but is there any way we can include Game Addicts somehow? Whether it's also making it a co-feature or something. Lucky for me, they fucking read my mind. I really do. I think they probably pulled up their file and went, shit, this fool was paying us $10 a month extra for like a year and a half. Treat him like royalty, you know?
At least give him this. Maybe he'll shut up.
I mean, if they took that money that I extra paid them and invested it in themselves in their stocks and made money, I mean, it's pretty easy. Look into my eyes, it's easy to see 1 and 1 makes 2 and 2 and 1 makes 3. And it was destiny that they could be rich with my 10 extra dollars a month that they, you know, that's probably not true at all. But, no, it was an opportunity I thought that we had to take. I've been trying to get out there. Obviously, folks, this is something I want to stress before we, end this week. I really do want to stress how important it is for us that people get out there. And if you're listening to the Journey into Comics Network, if you found one of the shows that are your bread and butter, you like butt stuff, you like foodies, you like Podcastrophy or Poor Rapport or Voice of Survival or Journey into Comics or Journey into Wrestling or Game Addicts, whatever it is, if you like us, please, if you have an Apple account and you have an iTunes account, give us a 5-star review. Write a little thing that says nice things. A lot of people have been doing it as of late. Our number has been increasing, which is good because it just allows us for better visibility. With that being said, you can also follow us on all of our social media sites at journeyintocomics.com. You can check out all of our different shows. If you go to the actual journeyintocomics.com, not on a mobile, and you go on your desktop, or if you choose not mobile, if you have a Google smartphone, you can actually see a sidebar, and on that sidebar is all the social medias for all of our shows. Journey into Comics, Game Addicts, Foodies, Journey into Wrestling, Butt Stuff, Voice of Survival, Podcastery, Poor Report, it's all there. Go there. Check it out. If you don't want to go to journeyintocomics.com right now, you're busy, you're doing something else, you're listening on, let's say, iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play Music or Overcast or Podbean, if you're listening there and you don't want to go, go on your Facebook, type in Journey into Comics Podcast up in the search bar, find us on Facebook. Go on Twitter, search JIC Network, follow us on Twitter. Go on Journey into Comics on Instagram, follow us on Instagram, we'll try to post more, I promise. Obviously, the most important thing, everybody, if you haven't done it yet, become a patron. We're doing extra content, we're doing a bunch of extra stuff. Brando, I actually found some lost tapes that were talked about on Voice of Survival Episode 3 that we could put as exclusive content if I can convert them from a VHS. Oh, yes, it's true. To a actual file, and I actually have the technology to do that. I have a VHS converter. So that is very possible that in the future people will be seeing some classic Draxus footage.
Now, was that us playing in the living room?
Nope. Skate rink show.
Oh, you have that. You found the skate rink show.
Guess what I also found? The Rise of the Phoenix video with missing footage.
Yes.
Because someone stole the fucking camera.
Oh, dude. That'd be so funny if we went back and added the missing footage now.
Tony now doing his parts because he's the only one that didn't get 10 years later, he's just like, being Tony, that'd be great. Shit.
And then, like, he looks so much different and so old. And then we have the scenes of us playing, and he looks like he's pretty young again.
It'd be really funny if we added at the very end of the video, he went and visited, like, every member of the band's grave that's next to each other. But he's the only, the lone surviving member, and then he just, like, puts a little note that says, "Finally did it. I finally buried Draxus." You know what I'm saying? Because that was always a long-running gag. This is a little bonus Voice Survival. Folks, if you haven't yet, listen to Brando and I's Voice Survival Episode 3. It's like Journey into Comics, the prequel.
Yeah.
But I don't really have anything else left today, Brando. Is there anything else for you?
Not at all, man. I think I'm good. Had a good time sitting back and talking. It's really good to sit back and relax and get back to podcasting.
I'm really glad you're back, man. You were definitely missed. I know it was only for one episode, but it is definitely a noticeable change as far as tonally for everybody. You know, everybody in the network that kind of had any priviness to what was going on within the situation or knew that you were taking a break were very much in tune with me and communicating with me and making sure that things were handled accurately and aptly and, you know, nothing was missed, man. We got everything on the ball, and this episode will go up on our to our patrons, you know, probably tonight or tomorrow, and then you know, Monday will drop, and then the week will start again, and we'll have new pull rapport this week and a new foodies for sure, and possibly a new butt stuff, who knows, and maybe it looks like there's going to be a Game Addict special, so it seems like we might be back to business as usual this week, and that's a really great feeling. So I, like I said again, I'm glad you're back. Thanks to Blaine and AP, and thanks to Veronica, and thanks to everybody that reached out, you know, while you were away. I'm glad you're back, and I can't wait to do many, many more episodes in a row here before either one of us has to take an extended break.
I agree. Looking forward to many more episodes, looking forward to more conversations, looking forward to getting back to business as usual.
Hell yeah, my friend. Well, I guess that's going to do it for this week's episode of Journey into Comics. This is episode 158. I don't know what we're going to call this. We'll figure that out when that's Journey into Comics. I have been your host, Nate.
I've been Brando.
And please, as always, fill your brains with shit. Later.